for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, June the 21st, 1981. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the evening.
Well, thank you. I knew you'd come up with something like that. Praise the Lord. You know, the old kids enjoy things sometimes just as much as the young kids. Just old kids and young kids, that's all. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord for His goodness and His mercy to us, for the presence of the Lord in our midst this evening, and the rejoicing and praise from our hearts that flows out unto each other and unto the Lord Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus is His name. Hallelujah. And unto Him is a gathering of the people. And we have gathered together to praise and worship Him and to be fed at the feet of Jesus from the Word of the Lord. Chuck's coming now to minister the Word of the Lord this evening and continue and close the service as he sees fit and as the Spirit of the Lord leads him to so do. Oh Lord, we pray the blessing of the Lord on him and the glory of the Lord to shine forth, that Jesus shall be glorified and we shall be lifted up and built up in the Word of the Lord. The Lord bless thee, Brother Flynn.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Glenn. Praise God.
Well, I've had a lot of requests, but I think I'll sing anyway. There was a new chorus. Oh, there was, I don't know if you've, was one that I like. There's therefore now no condemnation. Anybody heard that one?
Yeah.
You know that one? Okay. But this, okay, there was one that some had asked me. You are the song. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praises to your name I will bring. You are the mighty God. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of all kings. Now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. Now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praises to your name I will bring. You are the mighty God. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of all kings. Now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. And now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then some of you know this. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come and drink of this water, for I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, Lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. Amen. Well, it's such wonderful worship that we've enjoyed here this evening. I would like for us to touch upon the subject in the Word of God that has to do with the profile of the inheritance. For the blood of the Lamb in Exodus 12 was to protect the firstborn. And the firstborn received the major inheritance. So the blood of Jesus is not just to give you and I sort of a salvation that a fire insurance to miss hell and then sort of just relax and not have anything else happen. The blood is to bring us on into the power and the anointing of the full inheritance of the believer. Amen? So we are the church of the firstborn. The anointing of the very Son of God. Hallelujah. The authority of the Lord. I would like for us to touch on Philippians, the third chapter tonight. That tremendous attitude that the Holy Ghost would love to have us have for the last day's anointing. The attitude of the believer. Philippians 3 and verse 14. Now we do respect the authority, the qualities of God's anointing in His Word, but we see there are certain areas that are most blessed. I would like to say something about the LL Yon. Now, there is written on the High Arm Covenant of the Most High God. Now, in the prophecy of Zacharias, very few have ever gone into that tremendous prophecy. Brings out Abraham's covenant of the High Arm. Later on, 400 years later, Israel was brought out of Egypt with a High Arm. You and I have the High Arm Covenant also, that we lift up Jesus as the high priest of our family, who in turn also ministers to our children. And when they're away from home and as they are raised into accountability, this tremendous tape on the prophet, priest, and king anointing, I would, of course, recommend. This is the authority of the believer through Jesus. We have the prophetic anointing, the priestly anointing, and the glory of God and the authority of a kingly anointing. So walk in it. In the PTL club, Marianne and I, my wife and I did four sessions on finding your place in the body of Christ. I have in there the authority of clapping from God's Word, Psalm 6. It's a great weapon of authority because Psalm 6 says to the chief musician upon Neginneth. Neginneth means where the Messiah has been smitten, Satan has been smitten, and when you clap, you rebuke all satanic power, and the authority of the Lord's upon you is a great weapon. And there's other things involved there. Now, and the authority over the land. When you take the authority over your land, of your business, your home, the anointing of God's covenant with the land is brought into play. Jeremiah 22:29, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, I am told, this is what I'm told by the counselors, but I don't usually say anything, you know, just to say it in happenstance of building up something. But I'm told by the head counselor that this is one of the most responses they've gotten at PTL. Whenever that program is played, people just flood the lines, the telephone lines, and all they can say is, oh, earth, earth, earth. And so then the people already know what they're talking about. It means that every believer is very encouraged and interested in what gives you and I authority over the land. We also explained it from Psalms 8, that there is authority over the land, and you're to speak to the earth, and it will accomplish the glory of God. In other words, every yoke, every legal yoke, all employee pressure, and all types of friction is lifted off your home and your businesses when you take authority over the land. Hallelujah. Something in, it was a two or three sessions, but one session in particularly, something that I've never heard my wife do before or since. The anointing of the Holy Spirit just dipped down in her spirit, and she soared with the Shekinah revelation of what the Shekinah glory is. And I just stood there and got half blessed, and then I said, where in the world did you get that? I tell you, it is wonderful. Well, praise the Lord. But I want to encourage you, and some of these tape power packs, it'll change your life and enthuse and your ministry and glorify the Lord. Amen. For the Ellen Woods tapes especially, I'm most appreciative of a wonderful friend and a man of God. Philippians, let's turn and thank God for His Word. I'd like to have us speak life to the Word. Everybody, just say, I say unto the Word, live. Amen. Father, we say unto the Word, live in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Loose my brother, release my sister, and every one of us under the capacity of the authority of the Word, we thank you for it. Amen. I press, say it with me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. Again, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, shall we circle the word press, please? The word mark. And number three, the word prize. And number four, the word high calling. I want to separate those two, especially the prize and high calling. Now, press. This is the Holy Ghost setting the attitude of pressing on in to the things of God because of the high value that God places upon what He has given or provided and made available at this hour. I like to read from verse 7. And what brought this on from the Apostle Paul? And how, in fact, I call this the Gospel's lost and found department. Verse 7 and 8 and 9. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, underline verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth, underline, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Hallelujah. This sets the attitude of the believer in all the workings of the Holy Spirit in us, bringing forth the tremendous values that Christ gives us. Peter set the pace when he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In other words, that's the authority of the ministry, that which I have, give I thee. So he reaches over with his right hand and looses the lame man, and after 40 years of deformity, the lame man is healed and made normal. Life truly begins at 40. Hallelujah. And strength of ankle bones came into him, and the word strength, you musical, our music teacher back there, and all of you that love good music, or music, no, it's all good if it's from the right source and strength of edification. But here is a word that was used by Dr. Luke for the word strength. How many ankle bones do you have? Two. How many feet? 2. And the word is stereo. S-T-E-R-R-E-O. 2,000 years ago, way before electricity was ever invented, or stereophonic sound. But that's where we get the word stereophonic sound, is from this word stereo, which the Holy Ghost said, strength. Stereophonic healing came into his body. What does that mean? That means that stereophonic sound is two speakers. In your car, you are in the midst of the music. The layman was in the midst of the power and the virtue and the glory of the creative work of the Son of God. In all levels of mankind, the anointing of God touched him with creative power. He had to deal with him in his nervous system, throughout his blood cells, throughout his bone structure, throughout the mentality. All satanic power that was upon him was set free and delivered and healed and moving. Power of God. Jesus put the man right in the midst of his word, creative bosom, if you please. And every particle of the man was touched. And the man came forth, hallelujah. And not only that, but spiritual teaching also in a moment. And he began to leap and to walk and praise God, walking and leaping and praising God. And nobody taught him how to do it either. Amen. Glory to God, except the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the authority. So this is why the Lord sets this tremendous pattern of ministry. That when you minister to the people of the Lord and set them free, you will always be provided for. That's why Peter said, I reach forth my right hand, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have has a greater value, see. Because as I minister unto you, all my needs are met. Ministers that think that they all they have to do is just preach 3 points and throw in an illustration and you're through, and have 3 songs and a chorus or two and take the offering and then minister for 25 to 30 minutes, whatever, but just enough, you know. Then you missed, when you missed the real ministry, the ministry that Peter set down by the Holy Ghost is to reach forth your hand and touch the people and you'll be blessed and revelation shall come forth and the ministry will no longer be a drudgery upon the pastor or evangelist or their wives. The ministry is very heavy on wives. And to loose the yoke is to have the husband and wife minister together. Hallelujah. When Marianne ministers with me, stands alongside of me, and we speak the word of the Lord, joy and grace and glory, and then she holds the anointing oil in the great big plate, and I just slap my hand in there and anoint, as we did this morning with the oil of gladness and other types of anointing, and prophesy all over the place. Hallelujah. What a release and what a unity it gives you that nothing else does. Amen. Hallelujah. And when the anointing's on me and when the anointing's on her, I want her to pray for me, and we pray for each other and the member of our home, our son. But I just feel that this is the attitude that God wants to set up for this hour. Hallelujah. That's why Paul says, and now, he said, I have been apprehended. He said, Jesus met me. This is what he implied. I was apprehended on the road to Damascus. And the word apprehend, I believe Paul was from the south, Arkansas or Oklahoma. It's an Oklahoma term, and it means to grab by the nape of the neck. Hallelujah. And that's the word in the Greek. Apprehend means to grab by the nape of the neck and forcefully pull him to the order of the Lord. And this is why Paul the Apostle said that this is what I'm going to do with all the things of Jesus. I'm going to press. I'm going to apprehend. I'm going to lay hold upon the anointings of my God. And I'm not going to let any man take my crown. I'm going to hold that fast which I have. Hallelujah. This is the determination. I press. Now Jesus himself, let's turn to the attitude of the Lord in the determination that he had in Luke 3, verse 21. But when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. underline and praying, circle that, the heaven was open. Luke 3:21. When Jesus was being baptized by John, now John was the bridge, if you please, between the Levitical priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood. For John, after he was prophesied to by his father, and thou child shall be the prophet of the highest, was released from that day on to hear the voice of the Father, God the Father. But John was from the lineage of the Levitical priesthood. He was qualified. His mother was of the house of Aaron. His father was of the house of Aaron. So he represented the Levitical priesthood in quality and in spiritual relationship. And so when he came forth to have Jesus to be the sacrificial lamb, one of the Levitical priesthood had to touch him. So that represented John as representing the Levitical priesthood under the anointing of God the Father. Not just someone, not just any Levite, a Levite that heard the voice of the Father. John had it. John heard the voice of God the Father. And John said, it's for this reason that I've come, baptizing with water. For he who told me to do that said, there'll also be one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. And so John represented the Levitical priesthood, but is now to loose the office of the very Son of God as the Lamb of God, as the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, as the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And when John laid his hands on Jesus, he became the sacrificial lamb. He lowered him in the water, identifying him with you and I, raised him up as the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah! Tremendous releasing of the office of the Son of God. John the Baptist, I've heard it. Some say, well, he was the master of ceremonies, and all he did was introduce Jesus. He did more than that. He loosed the very office of the Son of God because he obeyed the Father's voice and ministered as the Father told him to minister. Hallelujah. And therefore, we come forth also because John the Baptist represented a company that would come forth in the last days before the second coming of our God, and he that was under the spirit and power of Elijah, also the spirit and power of Elijah is passed on to you and I. We also walk in the same anointing, praise God. We're the bridge. We will place our hands, hallelujah, forth as the kings and priests of Almighty God, and others shall be set free, and Jesus Christ shall be raised up as the baptizer, as the high priest, as a sacrificial lamb. Amen. Everything that we need is in him. The power of Elijah is that the fire of Almighty God will be upon us and upon the people of this day. Elijah called down fire from heaven and he said, Lord, turn their hearts. Let the people know that you've turned their hearts back to you. And the fire fell on Mount Carmel. What a way to witness. Just witness to somebody, say, did you know you're forgiven? Let the people know that you've turned their hearts back to you. You're already forgiven. Hallelujah. Then tell them how. What a witness. The spirit of Elijah. What is the spirit of Elijah? The power of Elijah is the fire of God, the authority of the Lord. You remember the captain of 50s that came? Where's Elijah? Where is the man of God? Elijah said, if I be the man of God, you're going to know it. And fire came and licked all of them up. Another captain of 50 came with all their military prestige. We'll get him this time. Where is Elijah, the prophet of God? And Elijah said, If I be the prophet of God, you've had it. Fire came down and licked that 50 up. And finally an angel came down and said, hey, Elijah, now this time, just it's all right. Go with them. Have you ever read that? God gave Elijah so much authority that, bless God, he just wiped them 50 out at a time. And an angel had to come down and say, Elijah, now, simmer down. It's all right this time. Go with him. It's okay. It's a little humorous, but powerful. But what is the spirit of Elijah? Then on Mount Carmel, after the fire came down from heaven, he goes over and he says, I hear a sound of abundance of rain. Tell Ahab to get in his devil barrel chariot and get to Jezreel. Get him a sandwich at Hot Springs. And he goes on up over the knoll and he falls down before the Lord. I just see the servant going around and say, my, where's the master? I'm ready to go. I've got all the parchments and all everything ready. And the servant says, where's Elijah? He looks over the knoll and there Elijah's praying. He just prophesied it's going to rain. Remember that? Now, anybody calls down fire from heaven, when they say frog, you better jump. That's what the servant thought, see. He goes up and he sees, now, master, what are you doing? You've prophesied. Ahab and all the king. You've spoken and the king is responding. But what is happening is that Elijah knows how to give the gift back to God. He said, oh, God, send the rain. This is one of the greatest formulas of success. I don't like the word, but of growth in the life of the believer. God, send the rain. Five times. Send the rain, Lord. That's the spirit of Elijah. Knowing how to pray after the authority of God flows through you. The first time you get alone with Jesus, pray that it will happen. You've already spoken in the prophetic word. Why dig up the seed again? Oh, that's what some would say. But see, here we're dealing with the child of God and their communication with the Lord. That when God deals with you, when the power flows through you, the first time you get to be alone with Jesus, know how to give the gift back to God. That's the spirit and power that the people of our God will have in the last days. It's not just going to be a superstar over here and another one over there. God will move on all of his children. And we'll find the power and glory. And it'll be the run of the mill. It'll be the norm. It'll be the routine for people to prophesy, speak the glory of God, and then praise the Lord, give the gift back to God, and God will give you more. Hallelujah. Wherever you go, the anointing of God is moving. Paul says, wherever I go, in every city, the Holy Ghost says, through his people is what he meant. The Spirit of God said, Paul, go to Jerusalem. Have a next service, an afternoon meeting, go to Jerusalem. Go to the next town. Go to Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost knows how to direct us. Amen. But I'm just praying that all of the little, a lot of God's people have those little darlings. God gave them to me. That's my ministry. This is my ministry. And it's all right to have confidence in the authority of the word within you. But this will keep you out of spiritual egotism. But this is the spirit of Elijah. Know how to give the gift back to God. And then you're just a channel then that the next time the anointing will flow through you in the greatness and power and the glory. Hallelujah. Be yourself and be in the anointing. Praise God. Allow the authority of the Lord to flow through you. Has there been any change, servant? Servant, is there any change? Well, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand coming up out of the Mediterranean or out of the sea. Elijah said, that's enough. That's enough evidence for me. Prayed seven times. Hallelujah. Give the gift back to God. Amen. Many times we'll speak the word of the Lord and the glory of God will move. People are set free in the prophetic word. But the next time we have to be alone with Jesus, Lord, heal. What we spoke in prophecy, oh God, bring it to pass. Touch that family, touch that young person, touch that couple. May they bring forth children. May the anointing of God be upon them. Hallelujah. I was in Nigeria, and Marianne said to me, my wife, she said, was with Benson, Idaho, so our first trip there, 72, 73. We met Margaret, Benson's wife, and Margaret, you know, in Nigeria, if you don't have issue, it's very a blight. It's a very humbling thing, and it was very serious. So everybody blamed it on Margaret, so to speak. She didn't even hardly talk at all. Sat over in a corner always, off to one side. Now, she had just beat me up for telling this, but she loved to just sit over there, and she didn't chew anything, but she just spit, and she could spit about 12 yards. Not a very finesseful thing. My wife says, honey, seek the Lord. May the Lord give you a word for Margaret. They need children. Well, we went through several days of meetings, and I just said, well, Lord, oh God, speak to him. Hallelujah. Touch him, Lord. Heal him. And I prayed about it, but nothing was strong upon me. Except the last night, the anointing of the Lord hit us, and as those Nigerians come through the line, and praise and worship was so powerful, and oh my, how hot, oh, the humidity and the humanity was terrible. In a hot degree, everybody, even the Navy, so we were all just, but it was very warm to say the least. But the prophetic word, Maza laid hands on, and most of them were prophesied over. Oh, my, a long time, just 2,000 or 3,000 people. The prophetic word was that strong. Now about 200 or 300 does me in, but all the anointing of the Lord that was there. And here Margaret was the last one. Ain't that something? And over there, they got a big cowbell, you know, and everybody's praising and shouting and glorifying God. And I had one of the missionaries grab that big cowbell. I said, ring that bell. And he starts ringing that bell, you know, and so everybody quietens down. By the way, I got that bell, and it's in my office as a memory of some of the great, wonderful things of God. I called Benson down, and the word of the Lord came, and the anointing would be upon them, and the glory of God would touch them, and they would bring forth issue. Hallelujah. 11 months later, she had a little baby boy. Hallelujah. 9 months later, she had a little baby girl. 11 months later, she had a little baby girl. And another 13 months later, I think about, she had another girl. Now Benson said, brother, pray again. Oh, I'll never forget that power and that authority of the Lord. They were healed. And now Margaret sits on the front row with all of the Nigerian Sanhedrin, I call them, you know. They're the ladies, and they have their own ladies' conventions now. And Margaret with a big red hat and some other color. But God has brought her out and blossomed her as a great leader of the women of Nigeria. Oh, thank God, hallelujah. Not only the anointing, but meeting the desire of her heart. Set her free. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. She has so much finesse now, she won't even open a bottle of pop with her teeth anymore for me. She has the strongest teeth I've ever seen. She's giving... The body of Christ is wonderful all over the world. Fred, if you're not living an overcoming Christian life, and if you're not delivered to come on into the things of God, why, you're missing it. You're missing living. But here's that authority, that pressing in, that being determined to go on into that spirit and power of authority, knowing that the Lord will keep us out of spiritual egotism, but keep us in to the full counsel of the Father so the gifts can flow through us. Amen. Hallelujah. This treasure's in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit are so powerful among the people of God. Now, some know the fruits of the Spirit, everybody has, but few, there's some that think, well, I don't know if I've got the gifts or not. Have you ever heard anybody say, I've got the fruit of peace and the fruit of joy, but I don't have the fruit of long suffering? So bless God, don't hurt my feelings, or I'll bless you with a brick. I'll give you a gospel karate chop. No, we'd say, come on down and take another dip, because the fruits of the Spirit should be in every believer. Then why not the gifts? Amen? The gifts of the Holy Spirit have the same capacity of authority. Therefore, the gifts of the Lord are upon you, just as much as love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and meekness, and faith, and temperance. Those are the fruits of the Spirit, and the gifts of speaking in a heavenly language and going ahead. That's your devotional tongue that everybody receives. And as you release that devotional tongue unto the Lord of praise and edification, then you begin to give forth a tongue to be interpreted. Then you give forth the interpretation. Then you bring forth, hallelujah, the authority of prophecy and words of knowledge, discernments, miracles and faith and healings, hallelujah, and wisdom. All the capacity of the gift is within you. Just release it. Peter gives us one of the best clues of the releasing of the authority. I press on into the authority, the gifts of the power of God for the last days, is what Paul is saying. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:5, he says, add to your faith. Now, to everyone's given a measure of faith. So the Bible just takes that into account. That's automatic. Add to your faith. Here again, we have a musical term. I love the word studies in God's Word. There's a book back there on word studies that you should have in your library, in your family. Buy your Bible, a good concordance, and a word study book of the New and the Old Testament. Amen. It'll revolutionize your ministry. It did mine. From Dick Mills, I was encouraged to go into word studies. And my, what thrill. And as it touches your heart and thrills your heart, then you're able to give it forth to others. Amen? How can you preach unless you are thrilled about the authority of the word? I was studying in Proverbs 31 recently. The virtuous woman is more precious than rubies. I've never looked up that word ruby, so I got Strong's Concordance. I looked it up, and the Hebrew word for ruby is pawnee. P-A-W-N-E-E. And pawnee is the root meaning for ruby, and it means oval, as a pearl. So pawnee stands for a pearl and ruby. Isn't that interesting? We're the pearl of great price, and we're the virtuous woman of the Lord. Hallelujah. Or the bride of Christ, and then the women are the virtuous woman of their home. So then it says it's from the root meaning of so-and-so number, and I went ahead a few numbers, and there was another word, a Hebrew word, which the root meaning is for ruby, is pain. P-A-N-E. And pain means the ruby is straight lines, as a wall and a street. That's all pain means. That a ruby is straight lines, a wall, and a street. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way unto life eternal. Amen. So I said, well, now that's beautiful. Praise the Lord. But straight lines. And we were at the Kokomo, Indiana, the Four Square Church there. The pastor's wife was going to speak, and we were talking about, she said, I'm going to bring out this rubies. And I said, oh, what about it? I've already studied this word pain. And she said, well, I called up the jeweler, and I said, well, what about rubies, you know? What? He said, well, there's some fake ones and some pure ones. And the natural ruby has straight lines in it. Yeah. And the fake ruby has curved lines and little air pockets. A lot of hot air. That's in the original. And when I heard that, but she said something that was more astounding. She said, the jeweler said, there's no way the naked eye can tell a natural ruby from a fake ruby. No way. Even an experienced gemologist cannot tell the difference. He has to have a microscope. And God knew that when he put it in the Hebrew language way before microscopes were ever invented. And we just stopped and worshiped that God said the ruby has straight lines. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And a wife and a woman and a mother who will walk the straightness of God's word and the pure and the authority of the word. She's the virtuous woman, more precious than rubies. Hallelujah. Oh, how the thrill of the anointing, the purity of his peace and his glory. It's upon us. So now the authority then of the glory of God is moving within us. Now Jesus said, Psalms 22 verse 15, this sets the attitude of the Lord. He was praying in Luke 3:21, and then I want to concur that with Psalms 22. But in Luke 3:21, he is praying means desiring onward. You look up the Greek word, it's something like prosukamaya. It is a heavy desiring onward to please the Father. Hebrews 11:1. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. This is why Peter says, now to release, to be determined, to loose the gifts of the Spirit. This is what every believer will be in the Spirit and power of Elijah for the last day. And Peter says, when you have your faith, add to your faith the virtue. And the word add is a musical term, chorizo, where we get the word choir. And it means to demonstrate with harmony what God has given you. Faith demonstrates your faith, and virtue comes alongside to harmonize. Hallelujah. After your faith, virtue. That means while you're operating in faith, virtue. The baritone is faith. The tenors are virtue. And as you operate in the virtue, then the alto section comes along. Hallelujah. Temperance. And then loving kindness, the second soprano. And the first soprano. And all of a sudden, as you move in the authority of God, in the devotional tongue, then the tongue to be interpreted is added. In other words, as you exercise one, the other comes in alongside of you. You are a choir of anointing. That's why Peter says in 2 Peter 1, verse 5, add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue the loving kindness and temperance and so forth, and the love, the charity of God. And if you do these, you'll never fail. You'll never fall. Praise God.
And wherever you go, whatever the occasion is, whatever the need is, you are an anthem choir of anointing, and the glory of God moves out of you in every capacity of life. The gift of the Lord's upon you, and you'll meet the need as you fall in the authority of Christ, the Son of God. You are a choir of anointing. Hallelujah. Chorizo is the Greek word. Don't forget it. Chorizo, the word for add. It's not a mathematical term. It is an experiential term. As you exercise one, the other one comes alongside. It could be mathematical, but it is musical. Hallelujah. It's harmonious. That's why as you move into one dimension, the next dimension is given. 2 Corinthians is another portion of Scripture, and what it says is, the God of all comfort who comforts you so that you may comfort others in all types of trouble by wherewith the comfort you've been comforted. What does that mean? If you've been healed, you're able to pray for the sick. If you've been prophesied over, you're able to prophesy over somebody else. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're able to pray for others that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't sit around and wonder what gifts you've got. What have you got? Give it to somebody. I call that ricochet anointing. PDP. Hallelujah. Keep it moving. Desiring onward. Jesus was praying, and he releases himself and leans back on the arms of John the Baptist, who lowers him down. He was designed to please the Father and raises him back up. Hallelujah. As the priest forevermore, after the order of Melchizedek. And throughout the book of Luke, you'll find the same word used very much. Desiring onward for praying. I only want to mention one other one that's very important. Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1, the same word is released there. Zechariah, desiring onward. And Jesus, arising very early in the morning, he went to a solitary place. And he began to pray. And the word prayer there is desiring onward. And so his disciples, here's what they did. They said, Lord, teach us how to desire. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
That's what it means. We say, they need a direction how to pray. Well, they'd seen many pray. Some of them knew John the Baptist and his prayer life and others. But here Jesus prayed, but there was something different about the Lord. He was desiring onward. So they said, Lord, teach us how to desire. I think that's a fundamental right of pressing on into the things of God for this hour. Lord, teach us how to desire. We desire thee, Father, and we desire the ways of Moses. He taught Moses his ways, so we desire that anointing and that authority that you gave to Moses of your ways. Amen? Hallelujah. So therefore, we will walk in that authority. Now, I want to hurry to Psalms 22:15. It says, this is the desiring of God and the Messiah. This Psalms 22 is a messianic psalm. And verse 15 says, that thou hast brought me down to the very dust of death. When you look at the 15th verse of Psalms 22, there are some very heavy descriptions here of Jesus on the cross. For those that have never studied Psalms 22, there are 34 prophecies fulfilled on the cross. Out of Psalms 22. It's the one that starts with verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? 34 prophecies are fulfilled in the New Testament on the cross of Jesus and the events around about the cross. But here Psalms 22 starts out with such a description of parchedness and thirstiness. And it says, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And I want you to put down by Psalms 22:15, John 19:28. Oh, the authority, the longing of the Son of God to see that the Scripture is fulfilled even in the details of the cross. And the Bible says in John 19:28 that Jesus seeing, or Jesus being determined, that all things be fulfilled that was written in the Scripture about Him on the cross. And you know what I believe what happened? Jesus scrutinized His spirit to the Word, and He flipped through the Bible quickly. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, Luke, Chronicles, Kings, and all through, and for Nehemiah, till he got to the Psalms, 22:15, my tongue cleaved to my jaw, and there he said, there's one that hasn't been fulfilled, I thirst. Catch it. Do you have that? Ooh, I'll throw your heart. Hallelujah. No, that's an easy. It's an easy one. Do you have it? You know what happened? He went through the Scripture in all the agony of the 39 stripes on his back, crown of thorns on his forehead. He was one big drop of love. The wound in his side later on, after he said, it's finished, out came water and blood. The sack around his heart broke. That's what happened to our presidency, the sack. When the bullet hit the sack around the heart, that's where they were very concerned with his life for a few minutes. But Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the sack broke under terrible pressure and travail of soul for you and I. A broken heart. And in his resurrection, that wound is still open. It's been the purpose of God, and I don't know why. It pleased the Father to bruise him. And it also means it pleased the Father to leave the wound open, and they'll look on him whom they pierced. Thomas, come and see the nails in my hands and feet. Thrust your hand into my side. All of our amputees, and I believe, though, that there's going to be such an enormous anointing of restoration upon the body of Christ, that eyes that have been destroyed and amputees of limbs, we're going to see them grow back out by the power and authority. It's already begun in many areas. Hallelujah. Brother Willis over here somewhere in Lafayette, Louisiana, said, every time I have a prayer line, he said, I call for amputees. He said, any minute I believe God's going to loose that anointing, we're going to see him grow up. Hallelujah. Amen. Said, I don't hedge around them. Bless God, lay hands on them. It's going to happen any moment. Hallelujah. It's the only way we initiate the power of God is to believe it'll happen. That's why we're preaching tonight. The authority of the glory of God's upon it. It's a plan. Let's believe for it. That's what. Glory to God. It's a creative word. What we speak will have it. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, I thirst, because he knew that every scripture would be fulfilled. He made very great, took great attention and concern. That's why he don't want you and I to say it's finished before every scripture is fulfilled in our lives. We're set free and delivered. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We're healed by the power of God. Every scripture will be fulfilled before we say it's finished. Hallelujah. He'll move in your heart and your home. He'll move in your life. Hallelujah. And he'll complete it. He'll be just as anxious to fulfill the word as he was on the cross. He'll fulfill the word within us. Hallelujah. And then verse 15, the B portion says, thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Everything else is dust but Jesus. The word dust of death in the word studies of the Hebrew language means, thou hast brought me to the point of no return. Put that in your notes. dust of death means the point of no return. I have come unto Jesus. And Jesus said, Father, I've come unto you to a place that I cannot be retracted. That's why the Sadducees and all of the Pharisees, some of them, come around the cross. If thou be the Son of God, come down. They hadn't read Psalm 22:15. Or they didn't apply it. They didn't understand it. Because Jesus said, I cannot be retracted. And at the cross, at Gethsemane, he locked his heart in on the heart of God, and he was not going to be retracted. Amen? And so that's the attitude the Apostle Paul is talking about, pressing on in. You and I can set that attitude. We can lock our heart in on the heart of God and not be retracted. Take this old world, but give me Jesus. Take this old world, but give me Jesus. Take this old world, but give me Jesus. I'll not turn back. I'll not turn back. Amen. That's what Jesus meant when he says, you brought me into the dust of death. Everything else is dust but Jesus. And you've gone past the point of no return. I'm not talking about once saved, always saved. I'm talking about a determination to press into the things of God that you'll not be retracted. I want you to know we can prove it by the negative reaction of God's word. And commit acts that are unseemly in Romans 1. God gives them up to a reprobate mind because they've gone through the point of his grace. And they've sinned past the line of demarcation of grace, and God gives them over to a reprobate. So it is, the child of God can believe him past the point of no return. Hallelujah. We'll be determined to follow him to know the Lord. No man will pluck us out of this. Lock my heart in on the heart of God and praise God. We will not be retracted. That's the attitude that every one of us has the will to commit to the Lord. I'll follow you, Jesus. Ruth said it, whether thou goest, I'll go. Thank you, Jesus. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. I press toward the mark. Something now that gives us this determination for the prize. The high calling of God, we'll get into that. We've touched on it, is the high on covenant of Abraham. But the prize. Let's go to John 6 as we conclude tonight. John 6. The prize. I often wondered why in John 6, and if you'll ask any pastor or minister, John 6 is the hardest chapter to preach from. They might speak a little bit about the multitude, feeding the multitude, but it's a tremendous hard chapter to bring forth. There's some beautiful, tremendous truths there. Imagine someone preaching to 15,000 one day and the next day just having 12. Amen? That was Jesus. So something must have happened there. 5,000 men, well, with women and children, Bible scholars say, and Bible students who know it all, say that if you'd asked me anything when I graduated from Bible school, I could have told you the answer. No, I just don't know. 15,000 is the approximate number, so you got 15,000 in the multitude. By the group, you got one land, one boy. You had a nation of Armenians, but you had one 12-year-old boy. Did you hear me? The other day I was praying about the Armenian people, and Jesus spoke to me and said, son, the Armenian people is the key to the Middle East. I want to raise them up. We got enough Armenian people in California. The only ones that are more than them is the Okies. They're a beautiful people. I've been with them in Syria. I've been with them in Jordan. I've been with them throughout Israel. I've been with them up into the other areas. all over the Middle East. I talked to Dima Shakarian's aunt, and she saw the little boy. He was older, of course, when she saw him, but that for days, for weeks, he was under the prophetic anointing and drew and wrote book, a thick book of what God wanted them to do. And drew maps and didn't know a thing about maps. And drew maps of where they were to go. And they were not to stay on the East Coast. They were to come all the way to the West Coast. And around L.A., Montebello area. Where else, Glenn? Around that area and all the suburbs of Los Angeles and up around Fresno. And many of the Pentecostal Russians that came over with them. But the Pentecostal Russians came down from Russia and brought revival to the Armenians. And then the anointing came upon this young boy. See, I want you to know that when Simeon dedicated Jesus, he said, this child is going to be for the foreign rising many. We're going to have the gifts of the Holy Ghost come upon our children. That's going to bring the harvest in, friend. Hallelujah! We're going to see the pure gifts flow. And the children are going to be released and are being released. That's where the anointing is. For the gods of Moloch and the gods of Baal has received too many souls and children. It's a stench in God. And now, again, he is still up with the stench of abortion. And he will raise up. And we'll have so many that will have such a guilt complex upon us. We're going to have the anointing of God upon our kids and upon our Bible schools. Already the Bible schools are so full with people training. We don't have the churches to take them in. Why are they being trained? Why has God called them? We're in for one of the greatest harvests this world has ever known. They're taking it out on our kids. And through the centuries, God has... This is one area. And listen, if you want to know something, the charismatic move has missed the emphasis of training the children. Oh, we did a little bit of them. We thank God for those that are here that are ministering. And let's get behind them. Let's, oh, the millions, oh, the hundreds of thousands that have been taken by Christian television, and you go check their books. It's only about 8% has really gone into the production of programs for children. God's going to jerk the slack out of that kind of business. I think we need to... I don't want to just be... bring up something negative. We got to seal this. This is on my heart. We've got to have a ministry that will be backed by power and anointing and the glory of God. Let's loose the Christian televisions that have taken in thousands of dollars and used it for something else. Now, in the name of Jesus, we just loose the children's program. We don't know. We're not being just critical. But God, we pray the anointing of the Father shall reach, hallelujah, in all areas and give us the authority among the Pentecostal charismatic people to put the teaching to the children. Hallelujah. Greater than we've ever done before. Thank God for what's being done. I'm not talking out of my head either, because I heard some tremendous reports from those that are very involved. They said we can't continue the budget. Just they told us the budget was wiped out, and they know for sure that they only used about a certain percentage of the budget, not even 10%. Hallelujah. Oh, the money's needed other places. Well, I still want to bring out one thing, but I do know that God's going to vindicate. And the abortion of today is only the worship of Baal of yesterday. Baal was a great, huge man, male figure with an ox head. And the priest would walk up with the children, and he would be huge, 5 stories high, let's say. And his arms came around with a great big copper base, and they would heat that base so hot it would be red. And when they threw the children over as sacrifice, of course there would be a little cinder at the bottom. And then our nation picks it up, and others, because of the lust in the land, it can snap out of life. But God says in Psalms 22, verse 10, I was cast upon thee from my mother's womb and from my mother's belly. That means the zygote. The word cast means embryomia. That's a Hebrew word that where we get the word embryo. When the zygote was formed, we were a creature, and God came to us embroidering our life, putting the protein, putting the embryo together. God's there embroidering our life. Hallelujah. Amen. One lad, two fishes, five loaves of bread. Jesus takes it and breaks it and prays over it. The multitude is fed. Here's verse 12. Let's read it. I'm at John 6, 6th chapter of John, and verse 12. Hallelujah. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained, and please circle, over and above unto them that had eaten. This is significant. They already ate. But why did Jesus pray beyond the need and there was? We're going to find out. The disciples went forth with 12 basketfuls, picked them up. I mean, nothing was lost. That means that all of Jesus' disciples will have enough and be well supplied with the potential of power for the last days. Hallelujah! That's the glory, that's the purpose of the Father, that everyone will be supplied. Now let's turn to verses 38 and 39. For in John 6, here's the clue. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, I came down to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, but of all which he hath given me. Now circle the word all. And then he hath given me. You remember what Jesus said to Saul? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So Jesus is always in relationship to his people. Amen? So he meant everything that the Father hath ever given me from the foundation of the world. I should lose nothing. There we have the clue. So we come over to verse 12, that nothing be lost. So we're scripturally in parallel. Amen? You're not just pulling out a spiritualization of something and stretching it. Walking now in the parallel of why he fed the 5,000 and had leftovers. And nothing be lost. I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again. Circle the word again. At the last day. Hallelujah. One of the greatest revelations the Lord has showed me. And I've got to write this down in a pamphlet or book, because it's one of the most astounding ways that God is equipping his people for the last days. Jesus said, everything the Father hath ever given me. So this is why in the New Testament here we have the feeding of the multitude. It's a type and shadow of how God's going to equip his people for the last days. Amen? This is the formula. Remember what he told Moses? He said, now God the Father told Moses, strike the rock and out shall come the water. He struck the rock. He smote the rock as a type of Jesus being smitten upon Calvary's cross. Then he says, Moses, don't strike the rock, just speak to it. So the Lord, when you and I now, he's not crucified over and over again. All we do is he is crucified once and for all. Amen? Now we just speak to him, Lord, forgive us, for we are sinners. But Moses, because the aggravation of the people, did not speak to it. But he smote the rock twice. Once and twice. And the door slammed shut of Moses going in to the promised land. God let him see it. But because of Moses' desire of his heart, hundreds of years later, you know, Moses was a meek man. And can you imagine Moses around heaven, you know, and all of a sudden, oh, so much activity, and the angels of God hurrying back and forth, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men, and all the fireness and the 30 years of activity and the glory of God moving, and then the 3 years of ministry, and Moses over there sort of looking down, you know, but he knows what's going on. And, I'd like to go to the promised land. Oh, boy. And he hears, and God says, Elijah, front and center. Whew, there goes the fiery chariot of fire and a whirlwind. Elijah, you know, going up to God's throne. And Moses, whew, boy, I know something's going on. You know, he's just sort of wishing, but, you know, turning aside, looking down, you know. All of a sudden he hears, Moses. Moses, he says, yes, Lord. He said, Moses, would you go with Elijah? I want you to go down, and your feet's going to touch the promised land, and you're going to talk to my son about his cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, what a thrill. God knows the desire of a heart, amen. But here, that's how important God sees types and shadows. So Jesus has used this as a type and shadow. So the Lord with his basket of glory. Can't you see Jesus going back? Everything that my Father hath ever given me. All that my Father hath ever given me. Jesus said, I have gone back. Nothing's going to be lost. And let's just take up a few examples. He goes back to the immoral day of Noah. And in all of that immorality, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. And after Noah had eaten, and all of his family had eaten, and were preserved in the ark, Jesus comes by and picks up that which is over and above. Ooh, the grace of God puts it in the basket of glory, comes on down to Abraham. And after Abraham is the head and not the tail, he's blessed in the city and in the field. And after the covenants of faith, God picks up the faith of Abraham, puts it in the basket. Oh, the anointing of Isaac, and puts it in the basket. And all the prophecies of Jacob over his sons, and he picks up the authority, puts it in the basket. Hallelujah. And goes on down to the fire of Elijah, and puts it in the basket. Hallelujah. After they've all eaten, and goes into, and Daniel in the lion's den, and after Daniel's well eaten of the protection, and that which closed the lion's mouths, Jesus preserves it, puts it in the basket of glory, takes the smoke off of the three Hebrew children, and puts that anointing of the fourth man in the basket. Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus! Jeremiah said, I will no longer preach his name. The people are so terrible. But he said, there's a fire burning in my bones. And after Jeremiah had well eaten, Jesus takes the fire of the bones, the bone fire, and he puts it in the basket. Amos and Obadiah, Jonah, Slam Dunk, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. He puts the anointing, everything the Father hath ever given me. I will lose nothing, for I have preserved it. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give them the axe. And all that the Father hath ever given me, I'm going to preserve it. But in the last days, I will raise it up again. Do you need the grace of Noah? The fire of Elijah. The faith of Abraham. God said, out of my spirit, I'll pour upon all flesh. The glory, the fire, the anointing of Daniel and the in the lion's den, the power of God in the days of Jacob, the apostolic word over his sons. God will give it to you. We shall be provided for and empowered with. We will be a strong people that will be strong and know our God. The glorious church is at hand. We will not be a denar late and a dollar short. We'll have the wisdom of Solomon. We'll have the glory of David, the key of praise and anointing. Ooh, hallelujah. Nothing's going to be lost, for I will raise it up again within my people for the end time, for the last day. You will be strong and you'll be well fortified. And there's nothing that will be lost. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember this, the widow, she was ready to die, but she was under the command of the Lord. And you and I are under the command of the Lord. It doesn't matter how you feel, you're still under God's command. Of the last day people that shall be strong and shall be mighty and shall lose the gift of God. God will set you free and take you forth to do exploits. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the glory and the anointing of thy peace. We thank you, Lord, that this is our finest hour. I press on. I press toward the mark. God, we praise you for the prize. The prize of the high calling. And the prize is that we shall be well equipped for this hour. You're not going to let nothing be lost, for you have fully supplied us with the basket of glory and with the bosom of the Father. We shall be qualified for this hour. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want everybody to take your right hand. I want you to put it upon your forehead. The anointing of the Lord is upon you, and we're going to release all of the glory that Jesus has provided through the visitation of the Father. Hallelujah. You're not under the wrath that's on the land, but you're well equipped in the name of Jesus. Father, loose Ezekiel's prophetic authority. Loose Ezekiel's anointing. For you touched the forehead of Ezekiel and said that his forehead was stronger than those. We loose, my brother. We release, my sister, by the power and the authority of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. We shall speak the anointing of our God for this hour. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's praise him with a creative clap, I think. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I want Jay and his wife to stand up. Jay, come on in. Her sister, just move out there with him, you know, and whichever ones. Hallelujah. Sister's a good cook, and I like to bless the cooks. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Take her hand, Jay. Praise God. For yea, I will surround thee with strength and the joy of my peace. Yea, shall be the authority that you shall have because the pleasure of the Father is upon you. Surely you have desired onward to please me. Surely the Lord shall speak to thee as I spoke to Moses in the tent door. For my presence around you shall be most personable. And yea, my daughter, arise up and be strong, for the desire of your heart is on its way. You'll know that the peace and the glory that I have loosed within you. Yea, you will set the captive free. Yea, you will move out in glory and authority. And I say to thee, my son, arise up, yea, with a trumpeter anointing. For I've given you, yea, the gift of joy in thy wife and thy family. And you all shall be a trumpeter unto me. And you'll speak the glory cloud of our God. For you'll see the cloud move. And others shall know it and be glad. Amen. Oh, sweet Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God. All right, let's see. There's a brother and sister. He's got a white shirt on. Brother, would you stand right on back of this lady here? Thank you, Father. For with beauty and bands, and it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. For I've given you beauty for ashes. I've given you the bands of the unity of the oil of Aaron's beard. And therefore the glory of our God shall go before you. For the ministry of the Lord shall enrich you. As yea, the temple of the Most High God, yea, that Holy Ghost authority is within you. Therefore I say unto thee, yea, you have the high arm covenant, and you're coming out with a strong arm of joy, and therefore you've been faithful in the small. I'm going to make you ruler over many, for you have learned, yea, whatever your hand has wit to do, it has prospered, and the glory of our God shall move within thee with the vision of my authority. And my daughter, the glory of the Lord shall enrich you, and yea, the task of life shall seem, yea, so beautiful and purposeful in my life. For yea, in my ways the anointing shall lift off of you that which would try to be heavy to thy shoulders. And I've given you the banner of life, and the mantle of my joy is with you. So that yea, the Lord is touched and healed, and the angels of God are encamped around thee about your family. I will promote thee, my son, and thou shalt be strong to loose others into the joy of the creative talent for this hour. Amen. Amen. That means more than just singing or something spiritually. That is of the inventive power of God that will loose the glory of God. Hallelujah. That others will be met by the anointing. There's something about it, the authority of the Lord. I thought we could keep going, but there's an anointing here for the shout. And I want every one of us to shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. That means allow the Father to prophesy to you that what you've heard this day, you're going to walk in it. Everyone shall give a prophecy and shout it. And there's no confusion here, because we all have received of the Lord, and we're going to speak it right now. Amen? And you're going to just give it up. In other words, thou shalt walk in the authority of my peace in the last days, and the glory of my gift shall be upon you, and you'll see your family touched by the anointing of our God. Speak it, amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand and shout unto the Lord. Get ready. 1, 2, 3, shout. The authority of our God, we shall come to pass, and the joy of the Lord shall move upon me, and the anointing of the Lord, yea, shall move upon me. I'm set free, I'm free in my business, I'm free, yea, my loved ones are free. The anointing of my peace shall overshadow you, the word of the Lord shall live upon you, my glory shall overshadow you, and you will walk in the power and anointing of the victory that I have given. You're well supplied with my authority. The anointing of the Lord is broken the yoke, and the financial anointing shall come to pass. For you'll see that the victory of God is within you. Hallelujah. You'll know that I've raised your hands up to the Most High God, and you'll be set free, and the desire of your heart shall come to pass. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. Well, he gets sweeter and sweeter days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love. Over and over.
man.
Oh, what a time we've had tonight. I don't know why the clock has kept running. I should have been like Joshua and said, clock stop. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. It's beautiful. Don't forget the tape and the book tables. God bless you. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.